Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Amen. Glad to be here. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
And good evening, Richard and Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma again.
And from here. And men, I know we've got a couple callers. I'll let you know when they come on, and I'll be standing by and listening in.
Thank you, sir.
Sounds good.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have been set free by the supernatural works of Jesus. And speaking of the supernatural works of Jesus, that is a book that was written by Pastor Cox. It's a great manual for helping those that are trained and are not trained to practice the work that that Christians were commanded to do, which was cast out demons. You can get that book by calling the office at 307-742-7582. Get a hold of Richard. You get your name and information, and he will get that book to you if you don't already have it or need another copy. And if you have any questions about deliverance, you can get a hold of us at info@deliveranceusa.com. Again, that's info@deliveranceusa.com. Or if you need training or more information about it, go to deliveranceusa.com. And just about everything that the pastor and the many people that come on and give testimonies, almost everything they talk about is available there on the website. Good evening, pastors, from Oklahoma again.
Great to be aboard again, brother.
Well, and how did this Monday go?
Well, we had 13 cases, had a minister for each, and it was a very smooth evening. And there was one outcry, though, which is quite unusual. A loud one, but it was short. And the team leader told me later that that was when the big demon came out. So I guess if that's what it takes, that's okay. Of course, we're all accustomed to when that does happen. We don't pay much attention to it, though there was, four or five, maybe six cases going in the same big room there. And, we're used to it, and everyone was going right along as usual, but Yeah, I guess if that's what it takes to get it out, everybody's happy about that.
That's right. And one of the reasons that no one pays much attention to it is because they at Deliverance Ministries practice speaking out loud often, Luke 10:19, which says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you." And when you have that confidence, you declare it out loud to the spirit realm, there's no reason to be fear any kind of outbreak or any kind of outcry or anything, because we have authority over it.
It's very rare, though. We go so many Mondays just low-key, no big deal about it, everyone sitting nicely in their chairs, and people, most of them, feeling these things come out, but no big deal about it. And then we get to hear that typical comment at the end, and I've already heard it several times this week, is, "I feel lighter." So, praise God. It is like a blanket of heaviness that comes off when these spirits are gone. I've actually done three this week, and they were all three head demon cases. And normally it's about one out of three, but I've had three in a row. And so I'm still on a high from all those.
Well, those head demon cases make it a lot easier, because you can kind of get right to the problem, and generally gets them out a lot quicker, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And often we'll find out some curses or something that we didn't quite get broken off. That's one of the interrogations that you go through, finding out any remaining doors that are still open, any assignments that haven't been canceled. And, I had one in the office today, and it just went very, quite quick, really, and very efficient. So it was fun to see it happen and see the results afterwards. It still amazes me that little us as these Christians, of course, we're not really little, because the greater one is in us, but everyone thinks, "Who am I to do this?" Well, it finally starts sinking in. Yes, we're commissioned to speak in his name directly and command these things to come out. And once that sinks in, and command healing, just like we see these short legs. I did have an amazing short arm this week. In fact, the first caller will probably tell about that, how short it was, and we got to watch it just shoot out. So it was pretty exciting. But yeah, this first caller will no doubt get into that. She was pretty excited herself.
Praise the Lord. And that is a neat thing to see, if you haven't ever experienced it or witnessed it. It's we just take our authority. A lot of times, exercise authority upon whatever it is that's binding someone, a lot of times people's legs and their arms are not in alignment. They're out of alignment from maybe an accident or spiritual bondage, the lady that was bound over for 18 years by Satan. And you just take command over that, exercise it in command. And sometimes those things are, generally the ones I've seen are just about a half inch or so out of alignment, but we've seen some 2 or 3 inches or more out of alignment. And just, it's just, some are just a slow stretch and some are just, bam, they're right there. And it's just absolutely amazing. I would have never thought in a million years until it was shown to me that I would have the authority to be able to do that over somebody.
Yes. I've seen a few 3-inchers over these years. And what was amazing, a couple of these people didn't even know they were like that. And they had to be walking with a wallow, mm-hmm. a kind of a limp or something. But anyway, it is amazing that we have this power to speak in Jesus' name and to see these adjustments take place. And, of course, what I'm always saying is that if we can see that happen, and I've seen thousands of them now over these 40 years, if we can do that, what else can we do in Jesus' name? I know we sell ourselves way too short. It's hard to convince ourselves to step out.
It is, and we have access to the the greatest power that was ever that's ever been. And and he said, you know, he told believers in his name to go out and do these things, and it's just a fantastic thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to sit there and exercise in the authority, speaking the word, using the steps that are tried and true to help people, and just seeing the immediate results. It's just absolutely immediate with some people. I've literally seen people hunched over in a chair, and as you're going through the deliverance with them, just have this, it looks like the weight of the world upon their shoulders. Their face is drooping, where they're, you know, it's almost sitting on the floor. And then before you're done, as you get through the breaking ungodly soul ties and helping them overcome those things, that especially the things they need to forgive in life, they almost start sitting up straight right in front of you, and you see just a different person just manifest in front of you, and it's just a wonderful, magnificent thing to see. And we just thank you, Lord, that you did give us the ability to do it, and gave us the power, and gave us the tools with your word written there and from us to look there as examples to do these things.
Yes. I never had this in my plan to be doing it. I was age 44 before I got introduced to it. I was born again when I was 13, and then received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. And, of course, that's what ultimately led. It's a baptism for service, among other things. And that was what led to me getting into this kind of ministry. I was groomed to be a mortgage banker all my life, and I was for 40 years and CEO for 26. And, you know, again, it just amazes me. But my greatest joy and fulfillment is not in that at all of the past, but in what's happening today and seeing these and hearing these testimonies of people that have been turned around in their lives. So it's pretty exciting, and we got a great set of ministers at Deliverance Ministries now here in Oklahoma City. They're as seasoned as any group that we've ever had. You know, they all kind of rotate. They're out there doing it on their own after a while, typically, and new people are going in and learning. Teaching's going on every Monday night. So there's usually new people each Monday going through.
Well, it is a neat thing, too, because it seems like you always have just the right amount of ministers for each person.
I know, and we had exactly the number. We had 13 for 13. And we often puzzle over that. It's like the Lord was coordinating his force, you know. And it's so that's happened so many times. And we just all kind of puzzle over, but we figure the Lord is coordinating.
Well, it makes it a lot easier when the Lord's doing the directing.
Yeah.
He can definitely do a better job than we can. So, you know, something that was said on the prayer meeting this evening by Warren, and to me, I just loved it, what he said. He was talking about an infection, I believe it was a tooth infection, but I could be wrong on that, with somebody, and he said, well, we know the blood of Jesus is stronger than any antibiotic, or better, stronger or better than any antibiotic. And that was like, wow, what faith to make that statement. And that was just an awesome thing to think, and it is. It is. I mean, we have the ability, the tools, the power, and the authority to speak to infections and cause the swelling to come down, infections to go, to damages to be reversed, and all kinds of things. And it's just want to encourage those out there that to realize that Pastor and myself and the men that pray don't have any more authority than you out there. We all have the exact same amount of authority. It's just a matter of realizing it, walking in it, and exercising it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is not a special gift area, this kind of ministry at all. It's normal Christianity.
And it'll be wonderful when we just see it happening all the time, just like in the days of the Book of Acts where the shadow would fall upon someone and they were healed. I look forward to that day. And, Pastor, we have our first caller on the air. I believe the name's Logan. Is that correct? Logan, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Hi, Logan. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely, Everett.
Yeah, I talked to Logan about the call, and I know she has an exciting testimony to share. So, Logan, why don't you just go ahead and move in to give some history on yourself and how you, you know, got born again and learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in the church. I grew up a Christian ever since I can remember. I was introduced to deliverance ministries. I think I was about 7 or 8 years old when I actually heard about it for the first time. I had no idea what it was, but I knew that something my parents were very, they believed very strongly about. I never really paid much attention to it. I went through high school, and I went to church, but I never really fully had given my life to Christ until about, it's been about 8 months. So at the end of last year, I went through some tough experiences. I started college. I went through my crazy years, and I just tried to fill a void that I really can only explain was just an emptiness that I couldn't really figure out how to fill that. So I tried everything as to alcohol, drugs, anything like that, just to fill it. And I still was very lonely. And I went through a pretty traumatic experience with a sexual assault, and I was just completely broken to the point where I had no idea where to turn or what to do. But thankfully, my parents have always been there for me, and I went back to church. And there was a sermon just about being in the valley and being in a very dark place, and I felt very moved. So I rededicated my life to Christ that day, and I was baptized again in January of this year, which was very exciting. But there was still just, I can't explain it, just something that was still inside that I hadn't let go of. So, of course, my parents have been strong believers in deliverance ministry for years, so they set me up with Everett, and I got to talk to him, and I got to be free from a lot of the things that I can only explain as just having a hold on me that were just very dark that I couldn't get rid of on my own without any kind of deliverance. And that's pretty much a short version of my rededication and how I came to Christ.
Yeah, that's awesome, Logan. And are you comfortable in sharing some of the types of spirits you think came out?
Absolutely. I had a very strong spirit of fear that was released. I was always anxious, a spirit of stress. Everything was very high stress in my life. I really wanted to control it, everything on my own. And after deliverance, I felt that stress just completely gone. I felt it leave the second I was actually in the room with you talking. It was like I had a weight on my chest, and it was immediately lifted. And it's a feeling that I can't explain. It's just absolutely incredible. So definitely the spirit of fear, the spirit of stress, and a lot of darkness. I think I would probably consider it the destroyer, just a lot of very dark thoughts of not wanting to be here anymore, that I really had no place. And just like the other spirits, immediately, whenever I released those spirits, those thoughts were gone. Everything just felt lighter. And my life just became a lot brighter and happier. And there's just nothing I can explain besides I just felt free from those three, I think, were my strongest spirits that I really struggled with.
Yeah. Well, after the deliverance, then one of the things we do is we call it the limb check. And it's, you know, we all know how people have to go to the chiropractor often for adjustment, a short leg, short arm, problems with the back, et cetera. Why don't you talk about the problems you had in that area and what happened?
Absolutely. So I've actually had, I had scoliosis when I was younger, so I had a full spinal fusion when I was 11, so that's been 9 years ago. So I've always dealt with pain and just issues with my back not being, just not being right. And whenever we did the limb check, I believe it was my arm was, I think it was like an inch short. It was a huge difference that was very visible. And as we did the limb check, I could actually feel my body adjust. I felt my body move and just in total alignment. And it was the most incredible feeling. Same with my leg. I believe my leg was about a half inch short, maybe a little more. It was just very noticeable. And I actually felt the change whenever we did the limb check, and I am still amazed by it. It was just such a surreal moment to actually experience that and realize that, you know, my body wasn't in full adjustment, and now it's in total alignment, and it just, everything feels right after that. That was, honestly, that was my favorite part, was because I got to see a visible change in my body, so that was pretty neat.
Oh, it was exciting. You know, I was talking earlier, I've seen 40 years of that after I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and started going to a full gospel church. They were doing that kind of thing, and I was amazed to watch it. And it's a, you know, it's a tangible miracle as we watch. And it was... I still remember one time I was just observing, and there was the pastor was leading some through that with a short arm, and this one arm was short, and he was commanding alignment, and it starts, that short one starts coming out, and it comes out, it's finally equal to the other, but it keeps going, and that pastor said, Lord, you've gone too far. And as he said that, it adjusted back equal. And I was watching that. Oh, my gosh. And, well, as I was to learn later, that actually is not unusual. I don't remember if it happened in your case. Yours just came right out and stayed equal, I believe. But we see quite a few of them. And it's like when we're commanding that, like the Lord is doing something in the person's back, and he'll take that short arm out further, and maybe, and then back. I've seen it happen 2 or 3, 4 times. Goes back and forth like that, and we just keep praising the Lord and commanding equal there, and finally it'll settle out equal. I thank the Lord just doing something in the body in the meantime, but it was so funny when that pastor said, Lord, you've gone too far, and sure enough, it came back equal. That was 40 years ago, Logan, and I still think about that one. It was so funny. Well, sounds like you got a Jesus overhaul, Logan. What else? Have you seen any other changes in your life since the ministry session?
I have just noticed a total change in my attitude about everything. I'm very positive. I very much don't feel heavy. I don't feel negative. I feel like almost when I walk into the like a room that I want to bring that positivity and that joy and that light to people. And I never felt that way before. I always just kind of wanted to blend in and not be different. I wanted to just, you know, keep to myself. But now, like you said, I have a Jesus overhaul, and I just want to share it with, you know, anyone and everyone, because it is the most incredible thing that I've seen, and I just don't understand how people don't know about it, because, I mean, it's just the way I feel is completely different than I felt before I saw you, and it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and again, it's normal Christianity. All Christians can do this, and I know it was, well, 40 years ago when I saw the reality of this and deliverance and physical healing. I wondered, and I was 44 at the time, and I hadn't known any of this prior to that, but went to a denominational church. But I wondered, why isn't everybody doing this? When I realized how this was, and it would work, and it helped people, and I kept hearing and seeing these testimonies, wondered, why isn't everyone doing this? And, you know, 40 years later, I'm still asking that. I don't know. I'm sure it has to do with Satan doing some kind of a snow job on the body of Christ and speaking into our heads and steering us away from the fullness and doing these things that Jesus commanded us to do, like in Mark 16:17. Did you have something, Ralph? I thought I
heard. I'm just listening and enjoying.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm the same way, but once I got into it, I was excited. I'm just like you, Logan. I wanted to tell everybody about all this that I was seeing. Strangely enough, not everyone would receive it, it seemed. But I just stayed on those highs that I'd get on when I'd be in the middle of it. And I've had 40 years of highs now, and I'm not going to change. As long as I can walk and talk, I'll be doing this kind of ministry, praise God. Well,
exactly. I'm just so glad that I learned about it at such a young age. Just being 20, I have so much time to spread it, and I have so many people that I can tell about it. So, I mean, I'm definitely so thankful that it was introduced to my life just at this age, just so I can have time to share it with others.
You know, what's scary about it, Logan, is we could have, all of us could have missed hearing about this very easily. In your case, your parents were into it, but it took a friend of mine to share it, and he might not have. What a difference it would have made if I'd never heard about this and started learning it, because I could have just stayed, you know, doing my coffee and donuts and all and what have you. But he did share, and it's just been the most exciting part of my life. I just praise God. Well,
something to think about, Pastor, is all the people that would have never heard it through you if that one person had shared. So that just bore more fruit than just with you. Is if your friend, was your friend named Lynn that showed? I think it was Lynn.
Lynn Myers. Lynn Myers, pathologist.
If he had not taken the time and shared it with you, we wouldn't even have all these testimonies every Wednesday night. So that's
that's right,
to give the testimonies.
We did 776 cases, I think it was, last year that we got our ministry reports on, and Richard in the office there was telling me that we're averaging 73 a month in the last 5 months cases. And so that would put us up around 850 for the year. And, you know, as the years go by, this is my 40th year, but the 34th year with the teams and doing the Monday night ministry service, the deliverance and healing. So that does add up. It doesn't seem like that many, you know, just 13 cases Monday night. Well, of course, it's still a drop in the bucket, but at least it's something. And it does add up. As we get to the end of the year, we finally did more than we thought we did.
Really, and each one of those 13 people are going to be a difference in their lives. And as people see it, they'll have an opportunity to witness to them. And as Logan said, that is a common testimony. I know with myself, it seems like after deliverance, things didn't bother me like they used to.
Yes.
I didn't get upset. I didn't get upset over silly things. I didn't stress out over the silly things. And that's obviously testimony to the demonic realm whispering in your ear to try to work you up.
Yes. And likewise, and Logan, you commented that you seem more relaxed now and all.
Yes, absolutely. I was very much a very high stress person. I overthought every little thing, whether it be something someone said or whether it be anything at all. I honestly would overthink it, and now it's almost as if, I mean, it's so freeing not having to worry and not having to stress and just knowing that, you know, God has me and those lies aren't in my ear anymore, because they did get so loud for a long period of time, and now it's like I can finally hear and think again, and it's just the best feeling.
Praise God. Yes, that's so awesome. And you know, we all do go through life having various tribulations as part of our lives, it seems. But with what you have now, look how much better you can handle whatever comes at you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, praise God. Well, in this next few minutes, do you have anything else you'd like to say to the people before we wind up?
I mean, really, I just have to say, if anybody hasn't tried it, that it's definitely worth giving it a shot, researching into it. I mean, you have nothing to lose and you have everything to gain from it. So I just think it's completely changed my life in a matter of, a week? And there's no telling how much more I can do in my life just because of it. So I'm just very thankful that your friend shared this with you, and now I'm very thankful that I can share it with others. So.
Yes. And you got rebaptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't you, that day?
I did, and I've actually been working on speaking in tongues, and it's actually coming more and more fluently every day. So it's something new for me to explore, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun, and it's just been a very joyful time.
Yes, and there's so many things, as Paul said, you know, you're praying to God what needs to be prayed, and you're edifying yourself, and of course we've learned that evil spirits do not want to hear the tongues either. It's another weapon of warfare. And so, praise God, that's great. And it is a baptism for service. We've certainly seen that. Again, I can verify that. If I had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on June 17th, 1978, we wouldn't be on here and talking today.
So, Logan, are you still there?
I heard something click.
Yeah, that was
Logan.
I think she was done and hung up. And, you know, Pastor Cox, the thought occurs to me, I hate to break in here, but what a blessing. We never know. I think back to praise the Lord that happened back in 1978. Back before Logan was born, the wheels were set in motion to deliver her from the enemy. Before she was even born, is our God great or what?
Praise God.
Amen.
It's humbling.
It is.
Very humbling.
Very humbling.
It is. It's a good thought. That's a good thought that the Lord worked it and probably had that in mind on that day. I mean, our Lord knew us before we were formed in the womb, and just to think back, that's something that many years ago is affecting a young lady today, helping a young lady today. So, and that's just to encourage you out there. We are told to that the word of our testimony overcomes, and it's so important to give your testimony out there, because you don't know what each person is going through, and.
Ralph, did we lose your brother? Pastor Cox?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ralph.
Okay. But anyway, you just don't know when you plant that seed, just how much it's going to grow, who it's going to affect. But we think about the 800 people the last year that was that went through deliverance and had ministry. They go out and tell one person. That's another 800, and then those people tell one person. That's another 800, and you can just multiply, and that's the way the gospel was spread, was by word of mouth. And word of mouth is the best testimony. It's the best advertising. It's the best anything you should have is word of mouth.
Yes, that's how it started with the 12, wasn't it?
Yes.
Multiply it out. Well, you can tell Logan's going to be telling it. She's energized. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that, and the Holy Spirit, when it changes you, it changes you.
Yes.
So, Pastor, we have our next caller on. Caller, thank you for joining us.
Blake, are you there?
Yeah, thank you. I sure am.
Yeah. All right. Great. Good to have you on, Blake. I'm excited for you to tell
Yeah, thanks for having me on here.
This is Ralph up in Missouri that's on with me here tonight, co-hosting. And if you could just go ahead and give history on yourself, Blake, and how you got born again when that happened, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then whatever you're comfortable in sharing in your experience.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, my name's Blake. Hello, everyone listening. been around, born in South Carolina, moved around a lot growing up. Moved to California, Southern Colorado, Northern Colorado, and now have made my home in Oklahoma City. Went to a Christian high school in Dell City, Christian Heritage. Did that my last 3 years of high school. Went off to Florida for college, and then after a couple years decided it wasn't for me, came on back. And, yeah, just been hanging out and doing life. I mean, not a whole lot to tell about my history, but in terms of being born again, I was raised in the church. And, I mean, pretty much I think for most people who are raised in the church, I don't know about most people, but for me especially and from people that I've talked to, it's very easy to learn how to talk the talk without legitimately walking the walk. And, I mean, enough happened to me growing up to where I think I legitimately wanted to believe in God and in Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, but I just couldn't. Like, there was just something in me, just so much doubt and just fear and anger from things that I experienced in my life, and I just couldn't bring myself to legitimately believe. I wanted to, but there was just something in my spirit and in my mind that just would not allow me to. So I did the stereotypical altar call when I was a freshman in high school with a youth group at my church, and got baptized in the White River in Colorado. But, I mean, from that point on, I really didn't live out the Christian walk at all. All through high school, all through college before I came home. But I would say the day that I legitimately surrendered my life wholly and completely over to God would have to be May 21st of this year, 2018. And, I mean, it was a big enough deal. Like, it was like my entire life came crashing down. I realized everything I had, my job, my plans for the future, a wedding coming up, even my relationship with my best friend, which was toxic, it was all built on a foundation of sand. And in one fell swoop, I had everything just ripped out from under me, and I had no other option but to just fully surrender everything over to God and just be like, look, God, I literally have nothing, and I've known that for a while, but like, I have to. Like, I have no other options. I have to surrender to you. My life is nothing. My life is worth nothing unless you have control over it. So, yeah, May 21st was when I'd say my life really began to change. Then, as for deliverance, I have a good friend and mentor. His name's Robert in Oklahoma City. He had actually texted me probably 2 or 3 weeks before I gave my life to Christ and said, hey, I really want you to meet with and talk with this guy. I know his name's Everett. And I was like, okay. But I didn't know anything else about it. So I came in, and I was still really hurting from, you know, the loss of a best friend, having to postpone a wedding, you know, literally having everything I thought I knew about my life just being ripped to shreds and having to, in a sense, start all over. So I was born again, but I was still really grieving, just really bitter and really just in mourning. And I went in, Robert went with me and brought in another guy, and he sat in, and they both sat in while Everett and I spoke. And let me tell you what, that was an eye-opening experience. On the day that I gave my life to Christ, I witnessed firsthand what the spiritual world, what the supernatural looks like. Like, I had something, some spirit, some entity in me that was fighting my physical body, as well as the pastor and the counselor who were sitting with me and with my friend and with my fiance, and it was probably one of the most eye-opening and scariest things that had ever happened to me. And that I had already experienced a little bit of what the supernatural had to offer, but I was not ready for deliverance. I had gotten a taste of it, but I wasn't ready for the whole thing. And then it just happened, and I was blown away. Like, I spent probably the whole session just feeling in my head like, this is crazy. There's no way this can be real. And yet there were entities speaking out of my mouth and controlling the way that I moved my body. And there was one point where the spirit identified itself as rage. And it was saying just all these incredibly derogatory things about Everett, who was ministering to me, like calling him a crotchety old man and calling him a tired, weak old person. And in my head, I was thinking, I don't even know this guy. Why am I saying this? But it wasn't me saying it. It was
the spirit. I'm accustomed
to that, Blake.
I'm used to that.
I felt bad.
Well, I knew it wasn't you, of course.
Right. And, I mean, at first I legitimately thought, you know, like, this is all in my head. I must be a really, really good actor. But then Everett had the spirit pull forth the lies that had been fed into my life. And it was all these things that I already knew, like, you know, feeling like I was worthless, feeling like I wasn't enough, all these things that I had just been telling myself for years, that the demons and that just the dark spirits had been telling me my whole life. And one of the 10 or so lies that got yanked out of me was, this is all in your head and you're imagining this. And once I realized that, it was like, okay, like, I felt more, I don't want to say relaxed, but more like, okay, this isn't just all make-believe, this is all legitimately happening, and this is real, and this is what spiritual warfare looks like. And I think the most eye-opening part of the whole thing was when Everett asked the spirit of rage how many spirits were under his control in my body. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, what stereotypical, like, you know, quote-unquote, evil number am I going to pull out of my head? And I was thinking of all the stereotypical, like the unlucky number 13 or like 666 for the devil, but then my mouth formed the word 70 times 7, which scripturally was how many times Jesus told his disciples that you should forgive in a given day. And it helped Everett and I both to put two and two together that part of the thing that was holding me back was I had so much unforgiveness of myself, of God, of my parents, of my best friend, even of my fiance and her family, even of people from years and years and years ago. And I just had so much pent-up bitterness and unforgiveness that I needed to just release. And we really dug all of that out, and that spirit, thankfully, was cast out. It seemed to me a little bit easier than what followed, but, I mean, I don't know how easy it was for Everett ministering to me.
It was pretty routine. You know, it was a full manifestation, and which is we do a lot of around deliverance ministry, so it was just routine stuff, and I was excited to see how it went for you. You know, we're always excited about seeing a Jesus overhaul.
Right. Yeah, and that wasn't even the end of it, too. Because, like, I had a...
Yeah.
Like, I had been dealing with a lot of sexual torment growing up, just a lot of sexual identity issues, was sexually violated my freshman year of high school. It was an incredibly traumatic event that really scarred me for a long, long time, like pretty much my whole life. And I mean, I was bringing that into a relationship with my best friend that was becoming toxic. I was about to bring all of that baggage into a wedding, and I just knew that I couldn't do that. So I mentioned it to you, Everett, and you called forth any spirits of sexual impurity, and I believe there was a very physical manifestation of that one, too, of a female spirit that you said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit wild, because I didn't know about that spirits of the opposite sex could inhabit a person and corrupt their emotional and mental and sexual makeup and cause just a lot of torment and grief, and that's what I was going through. And
yes,
man, I felt worlds lighter after that one went away.
Yeah, that was awesome to see that. And at one point, I felt led to put the demon on standby and call you up to actually renounce it. And so, as we did that, it was kind of interesting how the mannerisms of the female spirit suddenly went away, and then you were back with your normal self, and I had you renounce that spirit, rebuke it, and then I called it back up, and you went down, and then I said to the demon, the female spirit, is that right now broken? Because he'd indicated, or I felt led, it was a legal right for it, and it said yes. And then from there on, it was really easy to deal with. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Like, that whole calling, you know, putting the spirit on standby and calling me back to the surface, it sounds crazy until you experience it. Like, I mean, if you had asked me, you know, a couple weeks prior if I believed in spiritual warfare or the supernatural, I would have told you only in scary movies, because that's the only time I had ever seen it. But once you live it, like, it's pretty crazy. It legitimately felt like I was sitting in the back seat of my own head, watching and listening and feeling all these things, but not having any control over it.
Yeah. Now, it's quite common, actually. We see that quite a bit at Deliverance Ministry. So, you know, the good news of it, when we can get the head demon up where we can interrogate it, we can find out if it has any remaining legal rights or assignments that haven't been canceled out. And then we can round up all the demons under its authority and blow them away as a package. And do you remember that happening?
Yeah. I remember, like, it legit felt kind of like, you know, like I said, like sitting in the back seat and watching everything happen. It's kind of like I felt the pressure, and I felt, like, the pain and just the anger and the rage and everything bottled up, and then all of a sudden it was just not there. And I could feel it coming out, like, through my chest and through, like, the top of my head and out my mouth, because I was, like, really struggling. Like, I felt physically ill, like I was going to be sick. And I was just doing my best to kind of expel whatever was in me. It was very much like when you have smoke in your lungs. Like, I had to just continue to just cough and really deeply sigh and exhale everything out. And it was crazy how much lighter I felt every time I did.
Praise God. You know, there was one other thing we did before we blew the demons out. I had to give your God-given gifts and wrote those down for you. Were you aware that you had all those gifts?
I, You know what? I knew a good number of them because it's things that, like, my parents or that, you know, my best friend at the time or even my fiance would tell me, and I would just be like, you know, I really don't see that. I don't understand that. I don't feel like things like, you know, encouragement and love and stuff, like, you hear that all the time, and I would hear that all the time from everyone. I feel like I don't feel like I'm very encouraging because I don't feel very encouraged. I don't feel like I'm loving because I don't feel loved. But, you know, it was all things that were, like, inside me that were being suppressed. Same things with things like passion and intensity and just the ability to get out and bring people together and to make people feel welcome and things like that. And then the big one I know was, well, the big one I think for all of us, because I had mentioned to you that, you know, I felt so called after deliverance to write down my story. And one of the hardest gifts that it was to, like, get out of the spirits that were manifesting themselves in me was communication through writing. And, I mean, I thought that was just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were loaded with gifts. God-given gifts. So, praise God. Hold on to your hat now, Blake, because those spirits have been hindering those God-given gifts all this time. Now with the demons knocked out, your life is going to open up big time.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what the next step is. I mean, not every day is a cakewalk, but, you know, I have the confidence and the faith and the hope that now that I have been delivered and I've been born again and I can actually wake up and feel like I can breathe normally and that I could actually live life to the fullest, like, even my worst days are worlds better than the worst days that I experienced while I was being oppressed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Praise God. Well, you're in for a lot of high adventure, Lake, and the God will coordinate you. You can enjoy the ride now.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it.
Well, in the last minute or so we have, do you have any... Anything you'd like to say as we finish up with you here, Lake?
Yeah, I do want to make mention. I'm sure he said it. I'm sure Everett has said it on the air that Monday nights they do training and deliverance. Some people will end up going once and never go again. Some people will go a few times. Some people will go and become a part of it and be a lifelong thing. I encourage everyone, if you have the desire to learn about any form of ministry, but especially ministry that is so hands-on and so deep into the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of worship, the power of prayer, and the ability to do the supernatural works of Jesus, like, just go at least once and just witness it and just sit alongside the ministers as they minister to people. It's incredibly eye-opening. And if nothing else, maybe you'll want to dive in and learn how to do that. Maybe you will just want to go and experience it once. But it is a faith builder for sure. Like, and it's probably one of the most insane things I ever experienced. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my faith was strengthened in that. So, I mean, anyone listening, I encourage you, seriously, go see Everett. Go see the teams that meet on Monday nights. You're not going to regret it because it's mind-blowing what God can do through people who are willing to allow God to work through them.
Well, thank you so much, Lake. That's awesome and very encouraging. And as we know, Jesus commissioned all believers to do this kind of ministry, to cast out demons, heal the sick. And Mark 16:17, for example. Well, God bless you, brother. Thanks again for that wonderful testimony. Now go.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, it was great to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'll talk to you later, brother.
Sounds good.
Good night.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Good evening. Well, that's just so encouraging, hopeful, that a younger generation, two people in their 20s, early 20s, gave such wonderful testimonies, now have that fire upon them, and just the work that they're going to be able to accomplish in the next
life.
The new generation. Yes, amen. And I was thinking that I wish someone would have shared with me at 25, even though at that time in my life I may not have received it, but I just think that, where I would be today if someone had shared it to me at that young of an age. And that is just hopeful, because it's almost sickening to see what the enemy has done to that generation, and to see such two level-headed young folks just give such a wonderful testimony of overcome, and they'll be able to reach people that you and I won't be able to reach, because they'll look at us like a bunch of old fogies.
Yeah.
So it's just, that was just wild. Just absolutely wonderful. Great to hear that. Again, that's deliveranceusa.com. All the things that I've talked about are available there. The training, you don't have to go to Oklahoma City. You can get it by obtaining it through the self-ministry there, or doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which Pastor Cox has written. And that is the perfect handbook of many, many years of experience laid down. So don't work harder, work smarter. Go with the system that's tried and true, and you too can set yourself free, or set others free. So we do thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and we will see you next Wednesday. God bless, and thank you for joining us.
Yes, God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing will harm you. Nothing
will harm you.